This is a special Naked Astronomy coming from the Royal Astronomical Society's National Astronomy Meeting in Llandudno, where space science researchers can meet to discuss their work. It's also a great chance for early career scientists to share the details of their PhD research. I spoke with Neil Young from the Jodrell Bank Centre for Astrophysics about his PhD on part-time pulsars.
A pulsar is basically a highly evolved star, a star which is in its latest form of stellar evolution. It's basically the remnant of a supernova collapse from a massive star of the order of 10 times the mass of the Sun. It's one of the most compact forms of matter, about the size of Manchester, about 10 kilometres in diameter, and they're rapidly rotating, timescales of seconds or even half of a second or a millisecond. They have incredible electric fields and magnetic fields, and through their rotation they also produce a lot of energetic emission from their surface, and they form sort of like these beams of emission which form a kind of a lighthouse as they sweep across the Earth. Because they're so extreme, they provide a testbed for a lot of important theories such as general relativity and also of solid-state physics and fundamental emission physics of certain sources.
When they were first discovered, they caused quite a stir, didn't they? Because nobody expected to see this regular pulsing of activity when looking out in space.
Yeah, I mean, the original discovery was back in 1968. You know, there's theories about little green men, you know, because it's so periodic, you thought that it couldn't possibly be an astronomical source. But yet there we are, observing these isolated neutron stars in space, quite regularly producing this emission. But one thing which is quite peculiar is the fact that you may see in, you know, a sample of these pulsars that their emission is quite irregular. Instead of seeing this quite steady emission, you might see breaks where the pulsar basically switches off. One minute it may be radio-emitting, and the next it may just completely switch off its emission, which is very interesting in terms of the magnetospheric physics of pulsars. One thing which is unfortunate, however, is we don't fully understand the full radio emission physics of pulsars, so it's hard to describe why this is happening, but in the attempt to discover why the pulsar switches off will recursively enable us, hopefully, to determine why they emit in the first place and why they're so regular.
So there's obviously still lots of questions. Are there many different types of pulsar? And could that be something to do with why some of them seem so regular and others switch off for a while?
You do have quite a few different types of pulsars, yeah. You see the normal pulsars. They have typical sort of rotational periods of a second. But their main period is about half a second, or the mean period, sorry. Those of the millisecond population, you know, a thousandth of a second, the rotation period, these are recycled pulsars. So they originally started their life out, perhaps, as a normal pulsar, and then they have a companion, which feeds them with, you know, more mass and energy, which allows them to spin up. Now, these are older and have a lot weaker magnetic fields, but these are much more stable. We typically see, for the normal population, some of them quite young and energetic, that they're more prevalent towards irregularity, you know. We have theories about the expected time of arrival of a pulsar, and, you know, you have your model and your actual observations, and when you compare the two, you're supposed to have a kind of a corollary, but sometimes you just don't see that.
So what proportion of pulsars that we know of are these nulling or part-time pulsars?
There's nothing really to say that all pulsars wouldn't exhibit a nulling sort of phase. I guess one of the most comprehensive studies was done by Wang and a few others back in 2007. They basically studied, I think, 40 pulsars or so, bringing the total to about 72. And this is out the actual full population of about 1,850, I think, which is the current total, which is published. This is quite a small percentage. This is only because it's very hard to determine or observe a pulsar actually doing this. It's hard to actually see it, you know, switch off and switch back on. So it really just depends on, you know, your telescope, your observing time, whether, you know, the funding council allow you just to put your telescope into space and say, hey, that's a pulsar, please do something interesting.
When they do switch off, when they're in a nulling period, how long does this last for? Are we talking minutes, hours, years?
There's no fundamental timescale of nulling. You can say typical timescales, because the majority of which we've seen have small nulling fractions. So the nulling fraction, the time of which a pulsar is in its null phase, and that's typically about 1% up to about 5%. But that can range all the way up to 95%. But again, going back to my previous point, It depends on, you know, whether you can actually observe it and confirm it.
So what are our hypotheses? Why do we think this happens?
There are a couple of scenarios, basically. Above the polar cap, you know, northern and southern poles of a pulsar, you may have irregularities in the local regions which are supposed to be responsible for the radio emission which we observe. The radio emission beam of a pulsar is supposed to be comprised of subbeams, sort of filamentary tube structures. And if you were to have a change in the distribution of currents within these sort of regions, you may have a subbeam which isn't as filled as another subbeam. So depending on how your line of sight crosses it, you could perhaps see the pulsar in a certain phase or not. And another scenario is just completely global reconfiguration. So the pulsar could switch off entirely, or it could be in its on phase, a sort of bimodality.
So what's the next step? What do we need to do to work out which of these, if either, is correct?
We kind of believe that there's a continuum of this nulling distribution, or this nulling activity. So we have of timescales of seconds all the way up to, you know, days, hundreds of days, and even years. And these are attributed to different types of pulsar. Now, the global picture, you know, you want to basically describe what's happening in the short timescales and the long timescales and bring those together.
So some pulsars are simply part-timers. That was Neil Young from the Jodrell Bank Centre for Astrophysics.